Well, we'll get into the message and we'll look at Proverbs chapter 4. And thankful for that song, though. Thank you, thank you. God's so good to us, folks. The Bible says, verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, a deceitful mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You gotta love Proverbs. God gave it to us as a little bite-sized portions of practical wisdom. You can just take one out and just chew on it all day long. Just think about it and think about it and think about it. And then in this section, for these four or five verses, we get to have them come together and teach us and instruct us about how to do that task that's mentioned in verse number 23, and that is keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, the Bible says, because out of it are the issues of life. And you know, you've got the well there of the heart, but the mouth must be the spigot, or must be the place that it comes out of. And if we're going to have it good out of here, we got to have it good down there. Now, it's a little bit of a strange thing to come up with. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. But we also know in one way that's why we always have to have the work of the Lord. Because if you just do what some Disney movie says for you to follow your heart, you'll go right off the cliff every time and take several people with you. We got to make sure that we guard that thing, keep that thing, because the definers from the outside and the exposure that we have is going to work in there, and then out of our lives will come things that ought not to be coming out of us. First time I went to college, I went to West Liberty State University. It was up in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. I was going to join an organization, and I called back and asked Dad, and he said, well, I wouldn't get too involved with anything that doesn't have Jesus in first place. And he said, you shouldn't put a lot of, obviously we all are parts of different things, but he said, you ought to be careful what you get involved with that doesn't have Jesus lifted up in the center of it. And that's a good bit of advice. And I think about advice like that that my dad's given me. I wasn't born when my first granddad went on to heaven. Then my papaw, I wasn't real old, so I don't remember a lot from him. But I think about this little bits of wisdom that dads or granddads, papaws will give you. And I'd like to just give a few of those tonight right out of these verses. And I'd like for you to sit on the front porch, if we would, and just think about the wisdom that gets put down by some people who have been down the road for a little bit. And I want to, these five verses or so, get a point from each one and share a little quippy statement, if God would let me. So I'm looking at verse number 23, and the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm thinking about this, and you can write these down if you want. They're really not that profound, and certainly not something that the word will change your life, but not the little sayings. I thought about this, though, as we look at that, get a clean cup. You know, we used to have this at the bus garage at our church we served at in Murfreesboro. There was the bus barn had the office, little office such as it was, and the sinks there and the restroom. But they always had coffee. Anywhere guys gather around, there's usually coffee. And there were some coffee cups there, but it looked like some of them had been pre-World War. I don't know which World War, but one of them looked like they'd been there a long time. And some of them looked like it'd been at least since Vietnam, since they were washed. And so every time that people went up there, if it was a new guy or somebody that was in there, they would tell them, get a clean cup. You know, there's some good advice to that. You start looking at some of those and you think, wow, I don't know. We've got a science experiment going on in this one. But you ought to get a good clean cup. And I think about this in your life, you ought to keep it clean. You ought to keep your life clean, as the Bible says, keep thy heart. Or you could put in there, guard thy heart. Keep a guard, a sentry around it, because you want to keep that thing pure. You want to keep it clean as best you can, because out of it, the Bible says, are the issues of life. And so you're going to get your outlook of life from what you dwell on. And what you dwell on is going to dictate what you project to everybody else around you. And you can't expect to project or put forth anything that's good and worthy if all you've got in there is dirt and all that's in there is wickedness and things that come in from the world. I preached at a group of teens not a real long time ago, and I went there thinking that they were going to not want to hear what I had to say, and I thought that they would be a little scowling, and I thought that they would be a little bit of eye rolling, and I thought that they wouldn't be interested in it. And I left thinking the same thing that I thought when I came in. But you know who defeated me? I'm pretty sure I did. I went back to that same group some months later, maybe months later, and I thought this time, you know, I'm going to go with the idea that there's some people in there that probably do want to hear from the Word of God. I'm going to go in, doesn't matter if they are young people, I'm going to go in with the idea that they do want to hear what the Scripture says and that the Bible will help and change their life. And I went away that day thinking the same thing that I thought when I came in. You say, what does that have to do with it? It has to do with it, how we dwell on things, what we guard ourselves, who we guarding against. A lot of times we're guarding against those wicked thoughts that the devil puts in our mind, thinking that this is wrong and something else is not going to go right. I'm saying this evening that we ought to keep our heart, or as I've labeled it, get a clean cup and keep it in there. Number two, in verse number 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. I'm saying this, that we ought to tell the truth. A froward mouth, a deceitful mouth. We ought to tell the truth. My mother-in-law, she would always say this phrase when she was joking, but she was serious and into jokes. Tell the truth and shame the devil, meaning that just tell the truth and stand up and do right and put the devil in his place. It's a basic thing, but it's time that we get back to telling the truth, because as we tell things that aren't true, as we manipulate we conveniently tell the story the way that makes us sound good. As we are loose with the truth, we get ourselves in a place that our heart is not as clean as it should be, because you remember the Bible already says about our heart that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When you start putting some other things that aren't true in there, when you start putting some things that are less than honest and forthright, we get ourselves to where we put forth more of that same thing. In verse number 25, the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on. I remember my dad teaching me, and taught all of us kids, I guess, to drive. And when you were driving, sometimes after when you're first driving, you got your eyes wide open, you look straight ahead, but then you think you've got this, and you think that you're a little bit accomplished, and then you start looking around. Hey, boy, get your eyes on the road. And usually that was included with a little bit of slap from the other side. Oh, Dad, don't do that. Keep your eyes on the road. Jared and his sisters, our kids, we'd have they had little go-karts and mini bikes. They'd ride in the backyard, and I was watching a little video that was captured on my phone from years and years ago. The redhead was driving, and she was laughing, and her little sister was sitting right beside her on this go-kart, and she spun that thing around, about flung her sister off and her off, but she was laughing and having a good time during the whole video. And you feel like hollering out, pay attention, keep your hands on that little steering wheel, keep your eyes, they weren't on the road, they're in the backyard, but straighten up. And our life is that way as well. The Bible says, let thine eyes look right on. Yeah, I know one thing, there's so many things that you could look at. I said the Bible, or the Proverbs rather, is full of so many little wisdom nuggets that you could chew on and chew on and chew on. There's a lot of people who would have been a lot better off if they just keep their eyes straight on to where they're supposed to be looking, instead of looking at somebody, some other lady. They should have not been looking at some other this or look at that. We ought to be looking straight ahead to what the Lord has given us. I taught in one of the Sunday school classes this morning, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm keeping my eyes focused on the prize, and we'd be very well off if we just keep our eyes focused on the prize. You say, Pastor, what's the prize? Well, if you're married in this room tonight, the prize is for you to stay married until death do us part. There's a good way to have that happen. Don't look at any other women or men. Not in that way anyways. There's a good way for you to raise your children. Keep your eyes on that goal of putting Jesus Christ first in their life. They may not know a lot of things. You may not be able to teach them how to do the things that you are unable to do, but you can teach them one thing. In this house, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got our eyes focused on the prize. And don't, as Lee Robertson said, he was known for saying, don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left. Just look straight ahead. The Bible says that we ought to keep our eyes look, let them look right on. Verse number 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You've seen the sign just like I have, watch your step. We came up out. Amy and I went and ate somewhere the other night, and on the table it said, be careful for the step down, because they knew you'd sat there for so long you'd forget if you weren't careful that there was a little ledge there, and watch your step, and signs everywhere. Watch where you're going. And my friend, there is a lot of potholes in this world that the devil has put right in the front of your path so that you'll fall and get tripped up. This may not be a world that you know much about, but let me cue you into it. There's been a lot of assistant pastors that have been brought to their knees by one act. And then one act is coming around the back of a church van with that big hitch that sticks out when they were trying to put the church trailer on the back of there, because usually that hitch is not sticking out there, and they've run so many times, 1,000 times around there, except for the one time when you're getting ready to hook up the church trailer and you put that hitch and it sticks out about 14 foot, looks like, or a long ways. And then you come around there and you hit that one part of your body that doesn't have any padding anyways, right there on that shin where there ain't no fat, and kicks that thing in there. I've seen different ones of us on the staff there. You come around that thing and hit that. And the bad thing is you're always running late and you're fat. You're trying to get quick and trying to get it done. And so you just run around there. You just do one more thing and boom, it hits it. Brings a grown man to his knees. You got a broken tibia and fibula or whatever those bones are called in there. And I love it. Right after you do that, somebody's watching. They say, what do they always say? Be careful. Be careful, nothing. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to have to amputate this thing. I'm not going to be careful. It's like a dad when we've got a little bar that sits out from our house in the kitchen there. It sticks out, and about like a little toddler kid or a little bit older coming through there and hitting his head, and his dad says, watch out, watch where you're going. Yeah, right after he's got himself a concussion. That's when dad tells him. That's usually when dad's come strong on the scene, right after it's over. But in this instance, God tells us, before you make the mistake, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. I'm told that word ponder means this: to roll flat like a road, to lay it out in front of you, to weigh it mentally and see what it is you're looking at. Ponder. And my friend, this time that some of us as Christians, we start once again looking the path that we're going on and saying, is this where I want to go? One person said it like this: be careful when, as you climb the ladder of success, and make sure it's not leaned against the wrong building. Because you may be successful, but there's nothing worse than being successful, as one old preacher put it, being successful in something that doesn't matter to God. We ought to ponder the path, the Bible says, of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Watch your step. And then verse number 27, turn not the right hand or to the left. As I mentioned, Dr. Lee Robertson used to say that, but I just labeled this one, keep it between the ditches. That means the established path of travel. Turn not to the right hand or the left. In Isaiah chapter 35, the Bible says a highway shall be there. Scott Polley, when he was here a couple years ago, preached a whole series of message from Isaiah 35, I believe it was, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. There's a way that you and I are supposed to live. The Bible says, get on your path, don't veer to the right, don't veer to the left, and just stay where you're supposed to be. If you've ever been riding a bicycle and you get over there on the side of that road and you're in there on there a little further to the right than you want to be, and that gravel just sucks you over. You got over too far to the edge. We ought to just stay on the straight and narrow, stay over there where the road's hard and that bicycle tire just rolls freely. The Bible goes on to say, remove thy foot from evil. And as you stay on the straight and narrow, also have enough sense to get out of there when problems come. It's amazing how we flirt with sin. A young man that's, or old man for that matter, if statistics are right, there's a big crowd of men in every church that's addicted to pornography, God help us. But it's amazing how a young or older man will see images and they don't do what the scripture says, flee youthful lust, and they don't just turn away immediately. They just flirt with it back and forth, not planning to get caught in it. just flirting with it back and forth. Well, the scripture clearly tells us that we ought to remove our foot from evil, and I think it's not a damage to scripture at all. Not only remove your foot from evil, remove your eyes from evil, remove everything else from evil, let it get back to where it's supposed to be. I'm saying this evening that we ought to keep it between the ditches. Don't turn to the right hand or the left hand. Make sure that you stay right where God wants you to be. And so as we conclude tonight, I'm looking at the verse 23 where it says, keep thy heart. That's what God tells us to do. Keep your heart with all diligence. Do it. Because it's the wellspring of our heart that's down there, and out of it are the issues of life. That word keep means to guard, protect, put a sentry. If you ever did security duty somewhere, our good folks outside, they do security for every service. In case there's somebody that would have wrong intent, they keep them out there, and thank God for all of them. Well, this truth, this passage tells us to keep a sentry on our heart. Guard it. I believe that in our lives, our emotions, our outbursts, and our meltdowns, they're frequent, and our emotions are everywhere, seems to be, and we just seem to blow up at anything. I believe that one of the reasons that happens is because we're not guarding our heart. We're letting all of these foreign things into our heart. And then it just so happens that as those come into our heart, then we just spew out what we're dwelling on down there. I think these emotions that we allow to come out are a result of us not keeping our heart. I give you a quick list. I wrote in my Bible some time ago. I think it was from my pastor, if not him, some other good preacher, and so it's not original with me for certain. And I labeled it as how to live above the fray or how to keep your heart because I linked it back to that chapter of Proverbs 4. But this preacher said, stay away from negative people as you guard your heart. Shield yourself from papers, books, etc. that give you the scoop, so to speak. Number 3, sing happy songs. 4, look for someone to encourage. Don't talk about your problems all the time. Plan a time where you're going to resolve the problems and get it fixed. Never miss church. Learn to develop a hobby, schedule prayer and Bible time, have regular dates with your spouse, take care of your health, get a good night's rest, and praise God in everything. And you don't have to have that list, but a list that you ought to do to try to protect. Every one of us in here, we know what sets us off. Well, after you've been set off a few times, then try to stay out of those situations where you get set off. Don't just say, I'm going to make it this time. Well, get stronger, I guess, but don't succumb to those things. Everybody knows in here where there's some pitfalls. It'd be like this, a person that's an alcoholic, drunk, has a propensity to that. They know that that first drink would be the catapult down to back where they were when they were at their worst. Just for our sake as a church, I believe the scripture says that the way to keep from all that is just to not look upon the wine when it turns itself a red in its cup and just stay away from there. You'll never have to worry about the second, third, and fourth drink if you don't take the first one. But a person that has a issue with that, they know that they don't go into an area where it's flowing freely. And they say, oh, no, I'm fine. I can take it. You go ahead and do it. Because they know that they can't stand that. Well, that may not be your problem, but you've got problems just like I've got problems. And the Bible says I'm supposed to guard my heart. Because out of it come all the issues of my life. And so I'd be a whole lot better to keep a sentry around there and keep some things out of that so that I can continue to be a blessing to people. But if I try to be the rogue, strong person, say, oh no, I can handle it, I'll probably find myself being affected more than I ever thought I would. And then I'm still spewing things out, but it's not the help that people need. Keep your heart. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and I pray that this little passage of Scripture has been a great help to us. Lord, I pray that each of us would have learned the truth tonight to guard our heart, keep it, protect it. And Lord, we just pray that you would help each of us. Maybe this message has been a preventative pill that would keep us from some heartache in the weeks to come. Lord, I pray that you would make that so. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe you're here tonight and there's something that God tapped on your heart about. We ought to thank God for that. And then after you thank him for it, you ought to do business with what he convicted you about. You can come down and pray the steps of this altar, or you can just pray there in your seat. But whatever it is, I would challenge you not to leave out of here without doing business with the Lord. And then perhaps you're here tonight, and you've got something else also tapping on your heart, but you don't think it's necessary conviction about something. You know that you're not saved. You know that you're not a child of the Lord. Oh, you know about Jesus Christ, but you don't know him as your Savior. My friend, if that's you, I challenge you, invite you, beg you, if you'd come and let one of us show you from the Bible how you can be sure Jesus is your personal Savior. Wouldn't you do that tonight? As the ladies begin to play, would you stand together? And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. They'll just play a verse or two through. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're here, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. Maybe you're a lady and you're not sure about that. He'd have a lady just take her time and pray with you, show you from the Bible. Whatever your need is, I invite you to come. Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If there was something in your heart that God brought to your attention that you're letting sneak in, my friend, I'm asking you to go back and drive the fence down just a little bit. Sometimes you used to try to fence them some animals. They rooted out real bad. You'd have to go back around the edge of that fence and try to get out of there and take a stake and put it back down. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Thank you so much. What a joy to be in church tonight. We're going to see about a one-minute video. Just gives a quick glimpse of, I think, Levi. Maybe he's the only one doing some talking, but he just gives a quick greeting to our church. So if you'll just watch this, you can remain standing or seated, whichever.
Joining you here with Kyle. Hello, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're so thankful to be joining you here with Kyle Snyder and his wife and the whole group from Buffalo Ridge. And we're so thankful to God for a great morning we had to worship the Lord here at Beaches Road in Birmingham, England. We're grateful to God for the faith that God has given Pastor Herman and family and the whole church family there to support these teens to be here. They were an amazing blessing to our church, singing the Word of God and encouraging hearts through the message of their song. We're excited already. We've been in outreach in Worcester already, and we're looking forward to the very first meeting starting tomorrow night at the Worcester Gospel Mission. Pray with us. I want you to pray for Brother Kyle here. He's going to be preaching tonight at Beaches Road in our gospel service, and we're thrilled to hear what God has put on his heart for us all here, and we're praying for souls to be saved. Pray with us, and we know that you are, and we're so thankful to be partnering with you in this way, praying and going forth for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.
God bless. So it's hopefully they're in bed because it's about 12:30 there now, so Kyle should have preached a little bit ago, and then part of the group went up further north to another church, and then they would have been back now at Crown Hall. And so keep on praying for them, praying for God's safety and protection as they go through this Bible club for this week. Then pray that many souls will be saved, young people will be helped and blessed. So, well, tonight I'm going to ask the Reisingers, if you don't mind, to slip back to your table. And Brother Nathan, do you mind slipping back there to the lobby? If you've got any questions about the Oasis trip on Thursday, they're going to leave at 6 a.m. Here from the church down to Hickson, Tennessee. And if you want to stop by and see Brother Nathan, then he'll answer any questions that you have, and we're certainly thankful for that. Amy and I will be back in the lobby. Brother Marty, would you mind coming up and dismiss us in prayer? And then as you go throughout this week, let's be praying one for another, and I hope on the way out you'll greet somebody who you haven't talked to yet tonight.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. It was preached to us tonight and the practical truths of it, Lord, and then seeing this brother's video and his heart to go to the Amazon, Lord, I pray that you bless him as he finishes up deputation. Pray, Lord, you'll help us to apply these truths to our lives. Thank you again for your goodness. Pray that you be with the teens as they go to serve you over there in England. Pray that you watch over them, give them safety, and just help them enjoy themselves while they're there. Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.